all I got to think about is this is the Olympics and people are watching it all over the world, and the impact that I can have here for wrestling, for America, for myself is phenomenal. This is Dan Gable, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and excited to have on the line, actually truly honored to have Olympic gold medalist, world champion, coach of 15 national championships for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, legend, icon, and really the physical embodiment of the sport of wrestling in America, the one and only Dan Gable. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks. That was quite an intro. I enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, it's you. It's on the business card. You have a big business card. And one of the things is we get into what is another and very different Olympic Games. Share, if you can, sort of the excitement leading up for the athletes, for you back in Munich, and also the unique impact the Olympics have on lives and careers. You know, unlike pro sports that can be started or stopped, for the Olympics, it's really a moment in time, a lifetime of training and work leading up to one moment that, if canceled or postponed, is really gone forever.
Wow, you said it right there. You know, it just so happens that we have a lot of really good wrestlers, especially in the freestyle divisions for both men and women this year, and we're hoping to really make an impact in Greco-Roman, but we have a lot of big names going into these Tokyo Olympics. You know, I know there's not a lot of people in attendance, not exactly sure on the Japanese stance on it, whether they'll have a bunch of people there, but chances are, if things aren't going so well right now, they probably will be wrestling in an arena that is a little bit different than an Olympic arena. But I don't think it's about that, because, you know, the Olympic arena, you know, may be full, but it's really only a certain volume there that, you know, maybe it's a 10,000-seat arena and, you know, 10,000 people are great, but it's really the Olympics, and they're going out to all over the world. So if the athletes have trouble in a setting that is, you know, not full, well, all I got to think about is this is the Olympics and people are watching it all over, and the impact that I can have here for wrestling, for America, for myself is phenomenal. So, you know, if a good coach, which we have good coaches, Coach Bill Zadig, Coach Terry Steiner are coaching the freestyle teams. Coach Matt Lindland is coaching the Greco team. And all these guys, I know them, and I know their backgrounds. And because two of them are former Hawkeyes and national champions, you know, they love winning. And not just themselves, but it's their occupation. And now the winning is dependent on other people, and that's what they love. And I had a lot of that, so, you know, I can be familiar with that.
Well, you said it, because, you know, as far as the Olympics, it really has that forever impact throughout history for kind of all eternity for people. But for you, you know, with all the college, you know, with national championships and, of course, all the success that you brought Iowa, bringing them back to the top. So the Olympics, as much a big part of your career that it was, it doesn't necessarily define you, but for you, whether it was on the impact, on the inspiration, maybe validation for the Olympics for Dan Gable, like, where does it rank?
Well, let me tell you, it ranks high. And the reason why it ranks high is because there was a lot of teammates that were on that team that were really not the expectations from them, yes, but from other people. It was like these Peterson brothers that were from Wisconsin that I got associated with it at Iowa State. And one of them actually was never even an Iowa State wrestler, but he ended up coming there to train. You know, those kids, you know, they ended up they weren't great high school wrestlers. And all of a sudden, one of them became a good college wrestler, but the other wasn't even a great college wrestler. But then all of a sudden, in the right atmosphere, he became what he could have become. He just didn't realize it. And there's a lot of meaning in that. And they're really good kids from the standpoint that, I mean, straight arrows. So it's amazing. But then on that same team, we had other guys, you know, guys that were, well, actually, probably Wayne Wells was probably the most credentialed there, along with Rick Sanders. But Rick Sanders was a character. I mean, this guy, you know, you had to make sure, you had to go get him to make sure he was there, Matt side, ready to go. I mean, he's kind of a crazy guy, and that's what our sport's about. And that's what sports in baseball, football. I mean, you got this stereotype, but you got all types. And when you have a good coach, or you have a good team leader on the team, a good captain, that type of thing, they can bring them together. And that's what this Olympic team did. It wasn't picked out in 1972 to be the strongest wrestling team, but we ended up second to the Russians, which everybody always does. I mean, we've had a few wins over the Russians at the world and Olympic level, but very few. I mean, they've dominated, and they still have dominated, but that's kind of our goal, is just to knock them off. And we have a good shot with the men's freestyle, women's freestyle. Well, I should say the women's freestyle is Japan knocking them off, but and again, we're in Tokyo, and I don't know how much of an advantage that is, but usually it is when you have all the crowd, but we don't have the crowd right now, or they probably don't have the crowd except for worldwide, and that's what's exciting. So anyway, and Greco-Roman, like I said, is trying to make their mark, but we had a great team back in 1972. There's been teams that have been equally as good, if not even better, at times, but it's just a matter of once every 4 years, everybody's watching this event, and everybody's still going to be watching this event, whether they have fans or not. The fans may have to do it through their computer, or they may have to do it through other avenues, but it is exciting.
In a lot of ways, and you mentioned it, you and that 72 team kind of put wrestling on the map in a lot of ways, raised a bunch of awareness. But in a lot of ways, you've sort of transcended the sport of wrestling, raised awareness, and became really a global ambassador in a bunch of ways. But still in Iowa, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Like, when that call came through, what was that like? Were you surprised at all? And then your thoughts on being included in that, and as you look over the years, that really cool group of people that you're part of now.
Yeah, it's one of these things that, I wasn't out there looking to get this honor, but I probably wasn't aware of it as much as I should have been, just being a person of getting a lot of things accomplished in my life. But other people are. And if you make, not friends necessarily, but if you make impact after impact, people out there are going to kind of pull the trigger for you. And by that, I mean, they're going to work hard for you. And it's just that you got people out there that look and they have some passion and they love this, and they're trying to figure out how they can bring up that particular area of their life or other people's lives. And I think that's what happened. I mean, I think there was a group of people that was wanting to get me to win this award. I think you might even know him, Danny Olsta.
Of course.
Yeah, he's a football player. And all of a sudden, he marries my daughter, and he sees the impact that I have on it. And he got hooked on this sport of wrestling. I mean, like the NCAAs, he goes to it every year. And, it's like, and I'm sure he didn't do that before, but yeah. And there's a lot of history in his family also in wrestling, but it's something that when you have people that are outside doing the work for you to try to help you get a honor that maybe other people aren't aware of, and then other people look at it. I mean, every time President Trump talked to me, he says, wow. He said, every time I look your name up, I learned something new about you.
Right.
He said, I just can't believe this. Even though he had wrestling background a little bit, his son, Donald Jr., had a lot of wrestling background, but he always came up with some new line that was about me that was like, this is so impressive, And so, that was quite an honor. But anytime you can win an award that's one of the highest honors for civilians, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the highest. And of course, Danny is a great ambassador for wrestling in general and for you. But I think it's a testament to just the impact that you have in a bunch of different ways. Not only, changing the sport and bringing it and raising awareness, but you've never done that in a vacuum or by yourself. You've always brought everybody, whether it was your teams or your teammates or even the entire sport, with you. And I think that's great. great. And I think that's a great thing to be recognized too, because there's a lot of people that are familiar with that award that maybe became more familiar with you and with wrestling because of it. Okay, I wanted to ask you this. So I cover a lot of the food stuff here at WGN and nationally as well. But I got to tell you, I had, as a kid growing up, I had multiple pairs of Tiger Dan Gable wrestling shoes that I had. And I used to think like that was it. That was the pinnacle. That was the top. If you had shoes that were your shoes with your name on, that's about as cool as it gets. But in this day and age, when it comes to like having a craft beer named after you, that may be even cooler. So let's talk about Single Speed Brewing over there in Waterloo. You've got your own beer. How does that happen? Number one, and talk about the process.
Well, let me tell you, it's the same way. You know, you get into people's, if you do something year after year after year after year, people kind of recognize this. So, you know, as far as the wrestling shoes, listen, that's 1977 that I signed a contract with ASICS and ASICS wrestling shoes. But guess what? I still am working for them, and I still got a new shoes out this year, and I got a contract that's going another 3 years. So, you know, it's pretty amazing when something's doing well, and I love that consistency. People stick with you, and so it's like so that them ASICS shoes are still selling. I'm not the same type. We get a new updated brand every year, but this this beer, you know, there, I got a museum in my hometown that's, you know, a wrestling museum that's called the Dan Gable National Wrestling Hall of Fame. But it's like a block away. There's this brewery, and the brewery, of course, the head guy that runs it is a state champion wrestler, Dave Morgan.
Wow.
So you know, there's got to be some connection there that gets you going. And so, yeah, that you buy that Gable beer, and now we have a brat, and it's called a high V brat, and it's made from Gable beer. And so there's money that's going into that museum. You know, museums don't make it that well. They don't have an automatic. Every time somebody walks through the door, if you give them $2 to get in or something, that's not going to make it, because not enough people walk through that door. But you can get sponsors, and you can get other people that are donating to great causes without drinking, you know, enough beer to where you'll never will like that beer again. You don't want to overdrink. It's like anything else. It's, if you can handle it, handle it. You know, we have the same thing with a nutrition drink. So to me, the nutrition drink is even more valuable, because that's what gets your performance going. It's called Gable Gold. And again, another wrestler is running a big company that put this out. So, you know, you got to have a little connections, and we've had wrestling forever. Sometimes we have to work really hard to keep it, and then we get it going again. But I don't know why we ever let down our view of the sport. And I think it's a lot of times we take things for granted, just like the Olympics. We took for granted that we're the first sport, so we'll never be not a part of the Olympics. Well, you know, sometimes you get shifted real quick, and then you got to make some other shifts to make sure you get back in and stay in. And then you learn lessons, and you never let it happen again. So that's kind of way things have gone in our sport. It's not, you know, it's like in Russia, in Iran, Turkey. I mean, you know, these it's might be their top sport.
Right.
Mongolia. But in the United States, it's not the top sport. So
right. There's a lot of competition for that attention, for that participation. You mentioned the museum with the projects and products and events. You support the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, the Dan Gable Museum. There is no better way to tell that story and preserve that legacy and create really what is a destination, right, for people to do that. It's part of what you're doing. You're throwing up the Dan Gable bat signal and saying, this is where you can come to get that. So for the people listening, and let them know we're talking with wrestling legend, Olympic gold medalist Dan Gable, when they visit the museum, like what will they experience?
Well, first of all, there's no museum that actually has there's a baseball Hall of Fame, but they don't have a facility in there like a hitting cage, or, you know, you just don't have those types of things that people can come in and use. So in our museum, we got I think it's like 50 by 100 or even bigger than that. We got a wrestling room in there, and we host kids in there. We have clinics in there besides all the walls, all the trophies on the wall of people and all the history and the future history. We actually, you know, allow clubs and things like that to come in and actually use that type of facility. And we have other training, wrestling training tools that are there, whether it be bikes or we even got a sauna there, you know.
Really?
You know,
wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. But, you know, it's a division of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame out of Stillwater, Oklahoma. So you got Stillwater, Oklahoma, which is the home of Oklahoma State University. And the owner of that, the guy that runs the museum is Smith, and Leroy Smith. And that family is famous in Oklahoma and across the world. John Smith, younger brother of Leroy, won 6 world and Olympic titles in our sport, you know, and so, you know, we got Stillwater, Oklahoma, then you got Waterloo, Iowa, and of course you got Iowa City, Iowa, that's got a lot of current home to a lot of championships. But, and, you know, it's not just Iowa. I mean, if you look at Pennsylvania right now with Cale Sanderson and what he's doing out there at Penn State University in wrestling, you know, it's a battle. I mean, that's those competitions. You know, it's Iowa, it's Oklahoma, it's Pennsylvania, it's Ohio. You know, there's a lot of schools that are really going. So if you look at the makeup of the wrestling squad and you look up who the coaches are, the 3 coaches that are coaching the teams right now, 2 of them wrestled at the University of Iowa. One of them's from Montana. The other from North Dakota originally. And then you got another kid that wrestled at the University of Nebraska. He's the Greco-Roman coach, Matt Lindland. So, you know, we got a lot going in the Midwest there. But believe it or not, in California, they have more wrestlers than any other state as far as the high school divisions and women wrestlers. Mm. Texas, which wasn't a huge wrestling state until recently, the girls in the high school have shot up, you know, and colleges for females right now are just adding the sport. And a lot of it, I think, is because why not? I mean, for a long time, they didn't think, you know, that was a sport that women should wrestle, but why not? I mean, look at the self-defense that they have, the confidence that they have, the life skills that they learn about nutrition and competition. And, you know, it is working. And it's actually something that has helped our sport now that we have 2 genders instead of 1. And so, you know, it's something that it's only happened in the last 3 years, and even less than that. I mean, even our state of Iowa is a little slow on getting the high school females going, you know, for the state championship level. I don't believe we have a sanctioned state tournament that's the high school association, whereas, you know, maybe 35 other states already have it.
Wow.
Something like that. So we need a kick in the butt there.
I mean, because wrestling is the world's. You mentioned it was the first Olympic sport. And as much as you guys, you know, in Iowa, and you talked about Oklahoma, are so important to your state, you're really America's and you're really the world. And it's great to see that that is the future. I think on the women's side, that's the future. And some of the things, as we let you go, as you get to this part of your life with the career and the platform through the museum and more, what do you think? What is the future for wrestling? Is it just building in the additional genders and expansion and getting people excited about what does wrestling need? What would you think would be best in the near future for wrestling?
I think what is important is that the people that have been involved with the sport that are actually competitors, there's been so many, and just their voices and their avenues of life after wrestling. Really, there's no after wrestling, but you continue to, you should promote it and stay with it. But just how it has affected them in their own family, because one of the things that I learned from my family when I was growing up, and I completely stayed with that with my family after I got married, is that you get them involved in it, because that's how you succeed. So you have them. So when you're coming home late, they understand. They're involved with it. And I think it doesn't have to be just wrestling. It can happen to be everything. And I think part of the problem with a lot of the country right now or the world is that they might be split families, or we might have people that just come home and they shut the door on their profession. I mean, sounds to me like, with the energy that you have, with what you're doing right now with this broadcast, it sounds to me like you enjoy what you do and you are good at what you do. And it takes that kind of commitment, not just you, but everybody that's associated with you and that you love. When I went to get that Medal of Freedom, you know, I got 23 members that went there, and 13 of them were grandkids.
Oh,
and some,
that's awesome.
And some of the biggest excitement there was my 13 grandkids rolling under Trump's desk. I mean, little Hank was all of a sudden, and all the press was there, but they were not getting me or getting Trump. They were getting Hank rolling under his desk when he was 3 years old, you know, and he, you know, he was probably, that was his entertainment. It wasn't his grandpa getting the Medal of Freedom. It was, I love this, rolling around the carpet. In fact, I don't have the patience, he was thinking, to sit here and listen to a guy's talk and speech, but I do have a lot of time to roll around and do somersaults. And, you know, it's kind of like wrestling, you know, somersaults, rolling around the carpet, goes to later on into mats and holds and self-defense and just opportunities to then go coach people to learn about life skills right up through whether it's nutrition or whether it's learning how to compete, you know, that one-on-one. It's so valuable in life. And that's what it's happening. That's what's happening here in the next 2 weeks, that we are having the United States team compete against the world, even though we have limitations because you had to qualify to be there. It's only 16 people per weight class. Used to be open to everybody, but you have to qualify now. And so it's 16 of the best in the world. And so there's not a match that you can overlook. I mean, in fact, you never should overlook any match or anything in business. But right now, those 16 people per weight class, it's not just one Russian who's supposed to be usually the top dog. They got about five Russians in that 16 because they went to other countries that's hooked up easily with Russia that they could actually represent. So it's definitely dominated by one part of the world, but we'll see. We have a great team. We have a couple great teams. We have hopefully a mark that we can reach for with Greco-Roman, and I'm not crossing my fingers because it's more like their preparation will determine really how they do, because the calls also make a difference. And by that, I mean the officials, the referees, and there are a lot of calls that are kind of suspicious anytime in world competition. So you got to be above and beyond. Just, you can beat a guy by 1 point.
You just can't leave anything to chance. And all those things are amazing, amazing, life-changing moments, whether they're happening on the mats in Tokyo, whether they're happening on the carpet in the Oval Office. It's all about, you know, that next generation and bringing things together. And so, I mean, we're excited. I think, and I feel like the future is bright in a lot of ways. And because of people like you, Dan Gable, that bring the most important ingredients to all of it, which is enthusiasm and passion. We've got, like, our son Maxwell's just going into high school. He's going to be starting up in wrestling here in just a couple of months, and so he's excited too, and I think as you bring more people into that tent, into that sport, I think we'll all be better for it. And if we can enjoy it at home, maybe with a Dan Gable brew, right, and then maybe a brat from Hy-Vee, I think we'll all be having a great time during the Olympics. So as we let you go, is there like a website for the museum? Yeah, we'll Dan definitely
Gable
have it.
DanGable.com will tell you and give you a lot of opportunities to help support the sport and just actually give you ideas to help motivate you. You know, one thing I was going to say just about Illinois, University of Illinois, they got a new wrestling coach. It was former Iowa wrestling wrestler named Jim Heffernan that just stepped down, and they got a new wrestling coach named Mike Poeta. And he is looking to take all that reputation that the high school has, that the youth have in Illinois, because they win the high school nationals just about every year, just about. And because of that, you know, they looking to maybe get some of these colleges, which are good, but maybe to win at the national level. And right now, it's one of these things. You got a new coach. You got to get behind him a little bit. Even though I'm still a Cyclone at heart when I was a college athlete. And then as a coach, I'm a Hawkeye at heart. And I got so many coaches that are around there that every time I see a coach in a position, then I'm kind of involved with that as well. So, you know, but right now the University of Illinois, who is always dominant in that kids wrestling, would love to go and be a little more dominant at the university level, and even Northwestern. They're in the Big Ten. The Big Ten's a tough, tough conference, and they win every year. But, you know, it's just one of these things that the competition is well beyond the Big Ten in our sport.
To have all of these great places being mentioned, and you mentioned, of course, Texas as well, and California, and just increasing, of course, with the ladies getting involved as well, it's exciting stuff. We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com, including where you can get the Gable beer from Single Speed Brewing in Waterloo. And so we'll let you get back to enjoying the Olympics with all of us, but can't thank you enough for everything that you do, that you have done, and, of course, for jumping on the show today.
Oh, hey, appreciate it. You just gave me an opportunity to blast in front of millions, DanGable.com. I mean, my big standout in college when I came out of high school was right there in Chicago, Illinois. It was actually involved with Northwestern. It was called the Midlands Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And when I showed up there and won that, it was like it made the headlines or the smaller headlines in Chicago Tribune. And that started me off. So I have to give you guys a lot of credit.
So we're the genesis of so much of what Dan Gable is today. Good to be there.
You absolutely are.
All right. Thanks, Dan, so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you.